Radio News.
As soon as the show opened up, my jaw dropped, and I just said, is this as good as I think it is?
We introduce you to a music of a band that some describe as unlike any others in Hollywood. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 24th, 2011. I'm Megan Dickey. Right now in downtown LA, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and City Council President Eric Garcetti are announcing an agreement that will help the city close its budget shortfall. They made a deal with leaders from the largest civilian union to freeze some salary increases and overtime work. It's supposed to save the city about $400 million and avoid 600 layoffs. Members of the union still have to approve the deal. Four former Bell City officials pleaded not guilty to corruption charges today. Laurel Galanter has more.
Former city administrator Robert Rizzo and his former assistant Angela Spazia are among eight former city officials accused of misappropriating millions of dollars from the city. Rizzo is charged with more than 50 counts of fraud. Prosecutors dropped one count today, but another was added. Spazia was charged with a fourth misappropriation count, plus three counts of conflict of interest. Prosecutors say that Rizzo's salary and benefits package added up to $1.5 million. A pretrial hearing is scheduled for May 3rd. Laurel Galanter, Annenberg Radio News.
The man suspected of being the Grim Sleeper serial killer was indicted today on 10 counts of murder and another count of attempted murder. Lonnie David Franklin Jr. is charged with killing 10 women in South Los Angeles over a 20-year period. He had previously been charged with the killings, and a preliminary hearing was set for next week. Today's indictment means the process can move forward faster. Franklin is now due back in court April 4th for a pretrial hearing. The MTA voted today to make cuts to bus service. Even before the board voted, protesters gathered to tell them how it will hurt people who use public transportation. Melissa Butler reports.
About 40 protesters from the Bus Riders Union gathered in downtown LA. The Metro Board of Directors issued a proposal that will cut 305,000 hours of bus services. Crystal McMillan is an organizer for the union.
So we want them to reject the staff proposal. I can't say it strongly enough. If they cut these buses, they're going to affect the entire city.
The board claims the cuts must be made because buses are overlapping services. The board also tells riders that alternate service is available. But McMillan says that means more buses and more hassle.
They're talking about crossing bus lines, which is more expensive. And even if you stay on an MTA bus, when you add another bus to it, you're adding time to the commute.
Time seems to be the major factor behind bus riders' concerns. 20-year-old Johanna Espera says the few bus cuts that have already been made are affecting her grades at school.
I had to get up an extra 20 minutes earlier, let's say, for example, to catch the right bus. And then sometimes if that bus comes very full, I have to wait for the next one.
Despite protesters' arguments, the board voted and approved the cut. 9 routes will be eliminated by June, and there'll be 400 fewer buses running. But MTA says they did take the public's opinion into account.
And they went through extensive public hearing and community outreach to try to get public input in terms of these proposed changes.
MTA says this system will be more efficient for the city. Melissa Butler, Annenberg Radio News.
As we just told you, the city is cutting bus services, but today they're also introducing a new type of bus, greener buses. Emily Frost reports.
Los Angeles isn't known for its public transportation. Instead, we're known for the millions of cars racing or crawling up and down the freeways. But Mayor Villaraigosa and the Metropolitan Transportation Authority are trying to bring LA's bus system into the limelight. Today, Metro's board voted to approve a pilot program to add 30 electric buses to the system. Mayor Villaraigosa said it's one step towards the city's goal of creating a bus fleet with no dirty emissions.
We want to figure out a way to put a bus manufacturer here in the city of Los Angeles, a clean fuel bus manufacturer.
In January, Metro retired its last diesel bus. But LA still has a long way to go in converting its low-emission buses to no-emission buses. Metro operates over 2,900 buses. The mayor cited a sea change in the public's attitudes about environmentally friendly transportation.
And they want LA to be the world leader in these technologies.
First, though, Metro and the city have to focus on getting those electric buses on the road, a process they said will be underway within the next 2 years. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
A four-month contest to find the next entrepreneur in South Los Angeles is winding down. Amanda Smith spoke with the remaining contestants.
Three small business hopefuls are facing the last round in a competition to jumpstart their businesses. The Urban League and Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza have teamed up to give away a six-month kiosk lease in the mall to the winner. Blair Taylor is the president of Los Angeles Urban League and judged the contestants.
I'm really looking for entrepreneurs who've done their homework, who understand a little bit about the market, a little bit about the dynamics of the market, and are thinking for the long term about how their business might survive over multiple years as opposed to just the immediate launch.
Think of the contest like American Idol, but without the reality TV. It's fierce, but Barbara Lawson, who is selling hand-painted glassware, says they have all developed a bond.
You know, when you see on TV, you would think that everybody's like, oh, it's nothing like that. It's
Well, I know what I'll be singing tonight. Rain, rain, go away. Come again another day. And it will indeed come again another day. In fact, it will rain tonight with lows in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, there's a 20% chance of rain. And, you know, I apologize because this teleprompter has frozen on me. You know, it's my new best friend. But, yeah, just 1 second and I'll get the weather to you in just a couple of seconds. Oh, here we go. And so the highs will be in the lower 60s tomorrow. And on Saturday will be partly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain. And the highs will be in the upper 50s. And later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll hear from Los Angeles Times reporters who won an award for their investigative reporting in Bell. It's been 2 weeks since the deadly earthquake and tsunami hit Japan. It's estimated that the disaster killed 18,000 people and left many more homeless. USC student Marie Aniello arrived in Japan just 48 hours after the earthquake and tsunami struck. Aniello was in Tokyo, and she told Smitha Bondade about the changes she noticed in the city.
Being in Tokyo was actually a pretty eerie experience. So we're here with this guide walking us around, and we're in very famous intersections like Shibuya Scramble or in the Ginza region of Tokyo. These are usually places that are almost like a Times Square atmosphere, and it felt like not that busy. So there were many people in Tokyo who had just left the city. But nevertheless, it made for a really strange atmosphere. I felt like I was kind of walking around the skeleton of Tokyo and not like the real Tokyo. I talked to people who had felt the quake firsthand. I also spoke with people who had gone up to the northern region around the city of Sendai to make sure that their families were okay. There was one man in particular who told his story of how he was walking around with his cousin, and his cousin had lived in this area for more than 20 years, and his home was completely destroyed, and the destruction was so severe that this man couldn't even find the site of where his home used to be. And then he also told us about how one of his relatives, he said, was literally swept away by the wave, but somehow managed to survive, and to me that was just miraculous.
We continue our ongoing series on people and places in transition. The Ruby Friedman Orchestra has a lot of loyal fans. a charismatic frontwoman, and musicians with serious chops. What they don't have is a record deal in the U.S. But do they need that to make it big? Rebecca Schoenkopf takes in the scene.
Upstairs at Vitello's, a swanky Italian joint in Studio City, a tall, curvy redhead in fishnets and a very small dress grabs a microphone and waits for her cue. The upscale jazz lovers at their candlelit tables are staring at her, unsure what to make of Miss Ruby Friedman.
You have nothing but a hound dog!
No matter where she goes or what she's playing, she seems to find new fans every time she's in the spotlight. So how can she get the music industry to give her its love and money? There's a lot of talent out there. Can she cut through the clutter?
I think the business people, most of the business people in the music business are scared to do anything.
Back in the small Miracle Mile apartment where she lives with her boyfriend, Ruby says here in LA, it's the same old exasperating story.
So it's not really, is it good? It's what's been like it before that we can hang our hat on and justify throwing $100,000 at.
I've been covering the music business for 25 years. I was always a fan first.
Ruby's boyfriend, the music critic Chris Morris, sits down on the couch.
She's doing all the right things. She's talking to music supervisors. She went up to iTunes. They know who she is up there. And that is the largest retailer of music in the world. Through the night
to last forever. Ruby says it's frowned upon for a musician to take her own meetings instead of sending a manager. But she's organized a UK tour set for this summer. And lately, a few labels have come sniffing around her band, the Ruby Friedman Orchestra.
I'm hardly going to bleed if I go take a meeting with a record company. Joan of Arc would have done it. She could lead an army into battle.
Look for the shooting stars. Ruby does have her share of fans in the industry. The orchestra's song Shooting Star was used in commercials for America's Got Talent, which was nice. They got paid. But she thinks the music business is too busy looking for the next Miley Cyrus or Pussycat Dolls to know what to do with a grown-up. Like an old-time Hollywood starlet, she refuses to give her age.
This is the most superficial town on the planet. You think the A&R people are looking for good music? They're not looking for good music.
They're looking for
something
to package. Yeah. Yeah, they're looking for a package, okay? It's too dark
to breathe. Parade my head through town. 2 years ago, when her band had been together for all of 8 months, Ruby walked out of grad school to go play the Austin Music Festival South by Southwest. So go about your day. I watch the still life. Nobody pays. Back home, Chris was working the phones. After hounding her for what he says was quite some time, he got Lucinda Williams, the queen of alternative country, to come out for a gig.
Lou came and she sat down at the bar next to me. At the end of the first song, Lucinda turned to me and she just went, "I am f***ing blown away."
But if Lucinda Williams was blown away, why not approach her label?
Oh, she's a pop act. She's a rock and roll act. It needs to be taken to a larger forum, I think.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think we should bark up their tree.
Well, I think any tree is worth barking up, really. You know? Just like any tree is worth p***ing.
Ruby's a terrific singer, but is her music really so good that it would be an injustice if she didn't make it? Up in the hills near the Hollywood Bowl lives one of her devoted fans. Art Fine managed both the roots rock heroes The Blasters and the punk legends The Cramps, and he hosted a music interview show on Public Access for 24 years.
My credit is I'm still alive, and I was seeing music in the 50s.
The first time he heard the Ruby Friedman Orchestra, a friend of his had just died, and he said he was feeling glum.
I'm going to go pay $10 and just see somebody I don't know, just to get my mind off things. As soon as the show opened up, my jaw dropped, and I just said, "Is this as good as I think it is?" I just couldn't believe it. I just kept looking around the room like, is everybody seeing what I'm seeing? And they seemed to be. So it was astonishing. I had the feeling at that moment that this is the greatest thing I'd ever seen. I haven't actually shrunk from that notion.
You.
Ruby Friedman's actual chances for world domination, superstardom, or maybe just earning enough from her music so that her boyfriend's not stuck with the rent.
I think the odds are terrific.
It just hasn't happened for us yet.
Maybe it's Katy Perry's world and Ruby Friedman's just living in it. Or maybe this summer's UK tour marks the beginning of the stardom Ruby sees in her future, a future she's already set to music. Rebecca Schoenkopf, Annenberg Radio News.
A team of Los Angeles Times reporters recently took home the Selden Ring Award for investigative journalism. Jeff Gottlieb and Ruben Vives led the team that exposed corruption in the city of Bell. I spoke with them earlier today. Here's Ruben Vives.
The hard part really was in the beginning. It's like we knew we had, okay, we need to get documents. We're making requests for documents, and it was like the city was just stalling.
I think what sometimes is, on many stories, the most difficult thing is you know something is true. You know it, but you don't have the documents or people saying it well enough to get it in the newspaper.
What do you think this really means, like, for the future of investigative journalism?
It really helped, I think, tell the paper what was important. It sort of refocused our newsroom into doing these kinds of investigative pieces.
Right. This also kind of highlights what happens when you get rid of part of that aspect of a newspaper, right? The investigative reporters are gone. No one's there to be the real watchdog of going in there and looking at records and making those requests like we did. And without that, it's just it you lose that power. That paper loses that sort of that sense of watchdog, a little bit of it, I guess, not completely, because you're still having reporters going to council meetings, and but yeah, it definitely shows that it's important, that it's needed.
Right, this is exactly what a newspaper should be doing.
Clearly, this shows what happens when, if a paper stops keeping an eye on an area or a place, or things can fall apart pretty easily. The check and balances are gone, and what's left is basically corruption, you know.
Yeah, and so, yeah, like, tell me about the reactions that you got from some of the Bell residents.
Well, I mean, the
all sorts of reactions.
Yeah, all sorts. I mean, we've, you know, been asked for our autographs and, you know, pat on the back, and 76-year-old Carmen Bea who kissed Ruben.
Right. On the cheek.
On the cheek.
See, I had to correct you. I had to clarify that.
And
they always do.
And who said that, you know, we were guardian angels sent from God.
I mean, overall, it's been positive, but it's also been, you know, residents are expressing, like, you know, we knew something was wrong with our city, and we just could not figure out what it was. We knew that they were maybe holding something from us, and you know, we came along and exposed what the real root of the problem there was, and, you know, residents sort of felt this relief, but at the same time anger that this whole time, you know, they had been sort of been paying for these salaries, you know, because through property taxes, right?
That's Ruben Vives and Jeff Gottlieb. And now we check in with Candace Brain to see what's coming up on Annenberg Television News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
43 people have died in hospitals because of inadequate medical care since the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Also, we will be live from a rally outside the federal building in Westwood where people are gathering to support rebel forces in Libya. Stay tuned for more information on both stories at 6 o'clock.
Thanks, Candace. And that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Smitha Bondade, Stephanie Guzman, and Carl Nickenig. Christine Trang is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. And for all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan Dickey.